The topic given to me was evangelism, and I was telling Anders and John at the PA console, it's a very difficult topic. I wonder why Pastor Peter always gave me difficult topics to preach or share. And as I was preparing, I really felt that today my purpose here is not to tell you what to do. I really felt in my spirit as I was preparing, today, me being here is to encourage you that you are doing the right thing. Amen? Hello? Hello? Amen? Today, my purpose here is not just to tell you what to do, because I think you already know what to do about evangelism. And Coos Youth have always been doing a lot of great stuff, mission trip, you know, events. But today, my purpose here is to encourage you to continue to do the good things that you are doing. Amen? Thank you. Now, Christmas is coming. Alright? Christmas is coming. It's another maybe 9 more days. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I'm not sure. How many of you like Christmas? Okay, me too. Alright? Between Chinese New Year and Christmas, not because I need to give ang pao, but between these two festivals, I like Christmas better. Okay? It's not because of the light. It's not because of the presents, is not because of the Christmas tree, neither is it because of the Christmas event in church. I love Christmas simply because 31 years ago, my mother and I got to know this man, this Savior called Jesus in Church of Our Savior at one of the Christmas event organized by the Chinese church. And I'm going to share with you this story because it is very impactful to me. All right? Now, my mom is a typical homemaker. She goes to the wet market to buy her, to do her marketing. And as an auntie, okay, she will go to the store, the fishmonger, and she will press the fish, you know. Wow, not fresh, fresh. And one day, she met this lady who was with her at the fish store, fishmonger store. And for whatever reason, I don't know the detail, that time I was very young, they exchanged number. And during that time, there's no handphone. So they exchanged home numbers. And I remembered a few days before Christmas, this lady called up my mom at home. And we were watching television. We were watching a program. It was some Christmas program. And this lady invited my mom to church. I need to tell you a little about this lady. This lady, she was a drug addict. She has been in and out of rehabilitation center. And when Church of Our Savior Chinese Ministry had that event, that evangelistic event, she don't know who to invite. She has no friends. All her friends were from church. And suddenly she remembered my mom, this lady she met at the wet market. So she called up my mom and invited her. And the best thing about this whole incident is that my mom, who don't like to go to church, never heard about Jesus before, and decided to accept this stranger or call this acquaintance invitation. And there we went to church because I was very, of course, I was very excited because to me, Christmas is associated with church. I was looking forward to see Santa Claus. I was looking forward to have Christmas tree party and presents. But lo and behold, I walked into the Sunday school and there was this lady, this auntie, I remember, her name is Auntie Ruth. And I sat there and wondered why in the world would somebody call herself Ruth? R-O-O-F. You know, because I wasn't, you know, because I was very young, I was thinking, why this auntie call herself Ruth? Then later on, okay, after I became a Christian, I realized, oh, there's a Ruth, you know, in the Bible, R-U-T-H. So, but I was very interested in what she was sharing with us. She was saying that this Savior, Jesus, came on earth, died for our sin and all. And I was from a family where my dad gambles and he is also violent. And when the auntie Ruth say, if you want hope, if you want Jesus in your life, if you want somebody to come and answer your prayer, you need that person, put up your hand. And I put up my hand. Alright, I didn't know whether my brother did, but I put up my hand. And after that, I received Christ. I was very excited. I ran out of the Sunday school wanting to look for my mom. And guess what? I couldn't find her. Then I realized she was up front, also asking Jesus to come into her life. And the rest are history. My dad came to Christ. My whole family came to Christ. And then After that, everything, you know, is different. Can we give God a big clap? That's right. You see, that's how I came to know Jesus. Somebody, an acquaintance, called my mom and invited her because she has no one else to call. And my mom decided to answer that call and say yes to come to church. And that was 31 years ago. All right? So I want to share with you that actually sharing the gospel or sharing good news with your friends is not just because Pastor Peter said it or Pastor Tina or the church said it, but it is from the scripture. Matthew 28 clearly told us, all right, if you don't know about Matthew 28 is the last chapter of that book, all right, and it talks about Jesus resurrecting. Mary and Magdalene went to the tomb, couldn't find Jesus. Angel told them to go and tell the disciple that Jesus is alive. They went, they met Jesus, and Jesus, before he left, in Matthew last chapter, scripture of the Bible, Jesus said this to all the people standing in front of him. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Now from this, you can see the heart of Jesus, the heart of God. From this, we can see that evangelism, sharing the good news, is very important to him. God wants us to share his good news with the people around us and to bring others into the kingdom of God. He wants to partner us. He wants us to partner him. He needs you and me to make disciples. Of course, here some people may say of all nations. And I'm very glad that Coos Youth have always been going out into different nations. And I want to encourage that other than thinking about the nations, but what about our friends around us? They are closer to us, right? You only do mission trip once a year or twice a year. But I want to encourage you, evangelism can be 365 days. Because it can be every day if we realize how important it is to God. So what does it mean? What did Jesus do when he was on earth? He walked with the people. He walked with his disciples. He walked everywhere when he's tired. But his compassion came. And even though he's tired, he still ministered to people. That is the heart of God. And if we are his children, then we should partner God to reach out to the rest of the people around us, our families and our friends. You know, I can stand here for the next 30, 45 minutes teaching you about the tools of evangelism, the art, how do you speak, you know. In Urban Kids, we teach the children using 5 gospel law, the wordless book, you know, how to draw that model and the diagram to share with their friends. And I can teach you all this. And we always organize events or even cell group outings so that we can invite our friends. I can go on about different types of evangelism too. In my 31 years, I learned about type A evangelism. I learned about the different tools, you know, using testimonies and things like going out into the street, right? There was a period we go out to the street to meet strangers, street E and all. We can go on and on. All right. Even recently, our children ministry, we brought a group of children to a Kingdom Invasion Conference, Brave, and they were taught to use some tools to go out to the street to pray for people. For salvation as well as for healing. We can do all this. But tonight, I just felt in my spirit that I want to encourage you and also affirm you, some of you who are doing this, some of us who have been doing this, and a way to reach out to our friends. And I called it life evangelism. All right? Everybody say life evangelism. Okay, what does it mean? To me, it is more than just the sharing of a tool, using of a tool or sharing of our testimony. Although testimonies are very powerful, alright? It is more than that. It is about living our life daily in obedience to God and helping and loving our friends to see God in our life. That whatever we do, our friends will see God in us and through us. It's about being there as a light in the darkness, a hope when there's no hope. Especially some of our friends may be struggling. We are there to be a friend in need. I like the name or the theme for this year Christmas, Be a Light. You know, while we are talking here, there's a group of family at Henderson. We just did the briefing just now. They are now out in Henderson doing carolings to 100 units, children, families. We have caroling at Ghim Moh. We have a lot of things going on these few weeks. You know, and I like it. It's being the light. We should be that. God has called us to be the light and to be that hope. And if you're sitting there thinking, Pastor Debbie, very difficult, you know, my life is not right. How will my friends see God in my life now? Wow. Or some of you may be thinking, I'm not really feeling God or encountering Him right now. Are you sure this is for me? Or some of you may be thinking, I think I just make my parents upset. How will my friends see God in... Or some of you may even be thinking you are not good enough. Or you may be thinking this is for your pastor, for your leaders, because maybe you think they are more spiritual. Now, I'm going to tell you, you are wrong. Alright? You are wrong. I'm going to share with you why you are wrong when you are thinking that way, okay? You can be a light. Alright? You can be a hope, regardless of what you are going through now. Turn to your friend and say, you are a light. Turn to another friend and say, I am a light. Oh, no, young people, I think you can do much better. Come on, turn to your friend and say, I am a light. Alright, turn to another friend and say, you are the light. Yes. You see, young people, you see, church, if you want, God can use anybody. Okay? It's just whether you want to be used by God. A lot of times, God wants to use anybody and everybody. But it's whether you are willing to say, okay, God, just like the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Five loaves and 2 fishes. Alright? Okay, and say, here are my humbled dinner. Take. And God multiplied. God used donkeys in the Bible. Donkeys that speak. He rode on the donkeys. You know, God can use you and me. He can use, you see, He chose the 12 disciples. If you know about the character or the people that God chose for His 12 disciples, most of them are fishermen, you know, a few tax collector. Out of the 12, one betrayed Him. Another one who supposedly loved Him very much denied Him 3 times. Right? God used the ordinary people, you and me. I am not better than you. I'm just being called to serve in church, but I'm not better than you. You and I, we can all be used by God. And we just need to be available. And I'm very sure all of you are already doing that in schools and wherever you are. Tell your friend, keep doing it. That's right. Keep being a light for God. Now, I'm going to share with you what do I mean when I say all of us can do life evangelism. All right? And the first thing is, or how can we do life evangelism? And I'm going to tell you stories. Okay? I'm a storyteller. I just feel today I want to tell you a lot of stories. And I hope you are with me. Are you with me? All right. Okay. So, the first thing, in order for us to be a life evangelist, alright, if there's such a word, okay, is that we need to be real. We need to be authentic. And you know, your friends are different from my friends during my time. I suspect during my time, maybe out of 10 friends, maybe only one may heard about Jesus. Like me, when I walked in church, I've never heard about Jesus before. Never heard about this man Jesus. Never. In my life. That was my first time that Christmas. So I suspect that my friends during my time, 31 years ago, maybe a lot of my friends do not know this Jesus. And I'm suspecting that your friends, okay, maybe 10 of your friends, 8 of them may have heard about Jesus. Maybe 1 or 2 may have even Googled about Jesus or His miracles. Alright? Because now Mr. Google is everywhere, right? You want to find something? Go to Mr. Google. Right? Or Miss Google. Okay? So, I'm sure your friends have heard about Jesus before. And I think nowadays, I'm not sure if I'm right, people are a bit more skeptical, or maybe a bit more careful, you know, when you talk to them about all this religion thing. And you know, it's like I shared with you, right? I brought the group of children out, and they wanted to pray for some aunties and uncles, and the auntie would say, "Niamai was a mock. What you want to sell me?" You know, they are a bit skeptical to like want to find out what are we doing, you know, and we have to tell them, oh no, these children are learning how to speak up, they are praying for people, and then slowly we try to talk to them, and then some of them are a bit open, but some are, no, I don't want, don't talk to me about this. And many actually told us, oh, we heard about this Jesus before. Alright, so a lot of our friends know about Jesus, and I can tell you that they don't need, and most likely they are not looking for perfect Christians. They just want somebody to show them the faith of God by walking with them. You understand, young people? You know what I'm talking about? And being a Christian doesn't mean that our lives is a bed of roses, right? But a lot of times when we share with our friends, we are very afraid to show them the struggles that we have. I'm not saying that we have to tell them and stumble them. But what I meant is we have to be real. We are human. We have flesh. You know, we are made spirit, soul, and body, but we also have feelings and we have touch. We have flesh. And so we don't need to be afraid to show them our flaws or pretend to be something we are not. Because I don't think that's what your friend are looking for. I'm going to share with you my journey when I was in poly. You know, when I was growing up during my secondary and poly time, I was very fervent. And actually, I wanted to share another story, but this story came to me just now as I was sitting there. And I think this may be the story that I want to share with you. Are you here? Are you going to listen to my story? Yes? Okay. So this is one of my personal story. What happened was, when I went into poly, I was the only one from my class or my school that got into Nanyang Poly. Okay. And from Nanyang Poly, manufacturing engineering. So I was the only one who went there. And I told myself, I'm going to be the example, you know. I'm going to go there and, reach out to my friends. I'm going to be that Christian that many will come to know the Lord because of me and my life. And so I went there with that thinking. And I tried very hard. Okay, I tried very hard to reach out to my friends. I tried very hard to be the friend. And in my class, there is another guy. He's from another church. And he's also a Christian. Alright? So two of us were like, plan, you know, what we want to do for our class and everything. And so for the first year of my poly life, okay, everybody know I'm a Christian. Everybody knows, because I will go around and tell people, I'm a Christian, I'm a Church of Our Savior. Then normally people will gather after school, right? They will go bowling or they go and eat. I was saying, no, I need to go to church. I got leaders meeting. I got this cell meeting. I got a lot of meetings, you know. And thank God my result was not bad, okay? And everybody will be, you always go meeting one, but your result not bad. I say, yeah, praise the Lord. So for the first 2 years of my life, okay, I was trying to be that perfect Christian. And then guess what? I didn't sustain. I couldn't sustain it. I actually got into a non-Christian relationship. All right. That means that guy I got in the relationship was a non-Christian. I tell you, after that, it was so tough. Because everybody was looking at me. The Christian in the school was like, what happened to Debbie? You know, and things like that. Okay, of course the relationship didn't go very long. Okay, maybe about one semester to a year. We broke off because the church leader challenged me. Is relationship or God, you know? And I actually challenged God. I said, God, if this man is for me, then you must help me to bring him to Christ. You know, help me, convert him, you know. But he was also very staunch. So we were like fighting, you know, which religion win. But in the end, we decided to call it off. We were very adult about this. Okay, we said, okay, I think we cannot go together. So let's break off. And I tell you, after that, because I was always hanging out with his friends, I realized I have no friends. And that was my last year in poly. And I went around looking for all the old friends that I used to hang out. And then, after that, I realized that so many of them were like, you were not real. To us, it's like, you tell us you do this, do that, but you're not. And I realized that They were not looking for me to be, they were not looking at me to be perfect. And do you know what? I actually felt very convicted, and I actually went to them, a few groups of my friends, and I apologized. I said, I'm so sorry I stumbled you. First year of my life, I really tried to, and I go back on my word. I actually got into this relationship that I knew it was not right from the beginning. And I'm sorry. This group of friends, some of them were Christians, some were not. But you know what? Just to encourage you, my last semester with them, many of them accepted me back into that group. And I realized I could share with them as I journey with them the struggle I had as a Christian too. And you know what my non-Christian friend told me? Oh, finally you are human. We thought you were so holy, you know, that we couldn't even understand and couldn't even share with you what we went through. And that caused me to realize that all they wanted from me was just to be real. I'm not sure whether they are Christian today because we lost contact. But I'm very sure that last semester I had with them changed their perspective of what Christian life is. Because during those times, I shared with them about how God helped me through that broken relationship. How God continued to bring love into my heart. And we were able to have a lot of deep sharing. You see, I realized that I have the wrong mindset about being a perfect Christian so that my friend can know God. But I came to realize that my job is to just be there, to love people. God's job is to convict, to judge, and the Holy Spirit is the one who will convict their sin. I like what Billy Graham said. You know, can we read together? 1, 2, 3. That's right. Our job is just to love. You know, we are not here to judge anyone. We are not here to convince anyone of their sin or their life. But of course, we don't join them, you know. You know what I mean? Okay, I hope you understand it. You understand where I'm coming from, huh? Okay? Not that we need to join them to do the things that stumble them or that, you know, cause us to turn far away from God. But our job is just be real. Just to be there. Because it just said, like it said in John 16:8, right? Just like, for me, Pastor Debbie, you know, in my imperfection, all of us have flaws and imperfection, but despite all of this, our friends will come to know the Lord because of God, not because of us. Because it's the Holy Spirit that will convince them. Amen? But our job is just to be real. That we have emotions. That as Christians, we also face failures. We also have difficulties. We also we have ups and downs, right? We cannot be always up, you know. There's ups and downs in life because we're living in this world. And we need to be real to our friends so that our friend will see, oh, so when you are in pain, God can come and heal your heart. Oh, you mean you have no money and then God can provide? Oh, you mean you fail your exam because you didn't do well, but God is assuring us that if we put our best in the next exam, yes, we can do it. Do you see what I'm saying? Then people will start to see, we don't need to be perfect to be loved by God. So what is the number one thing so that we can be life evangelists? What's the number one thing? Huh? Be real, okay? Be authentic, alright? We don't need to be afraid, okay, to do that, okay? The second thing, which I want to share a bit more story, is actually to be a friend, alright? Love and help your friend because that's the principle of Christianity. The Bible says very simply, and I teach the children this. The Bible says two things. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Repeat. Come on. Louder, please. That's right. Two simple things. Love God, Love people. Very simple. We are to love Him with all our heart, soul and mind. And we are to love our enemies as ourselves. Love our people. Love the people around us. Care for our friends and help them. Not because we want them to come for an event. Of course, please do invite them, okay? But when we do that, it's not for some ulterior motive. Oh, because, wow, this weekend, Christmas event, no? I still got no friends. Never mind, suddenly I'd be very nice to this group of friends, hoping they will come. You know, but that shouldn't be the thing, you see? We should be loving them and helping them because we want to do it. Because we want them to come into the kingdom of God. Alright? See, it's good to have events, it's good to have cell group events, and things going on in church that we can invite the friends to come. But if we don't invest or sow into that relationship or that friendship, it's sometimes not easy to bring them to an event. Event should be the end product. You know, end of the race to ask them to come and accept Christ. You see? But we need to realize that we need to remember that we need to sow first. You want to have apples? From apple tree, you must sow the apple seeds. Right? If you want to have a best friend, you cannot say, I don't talk to this friend, I don't spend time with this friend, I don't go out with this friend. Suddenly, wow, that friend is my best friend. Alright? Okay, I have a best friend in US. We know each other for many years. But even until now, we still need to invest in our friendship so that when she comes back, we make it a point to meet up, we make it a point to face time, we make it a point to WhatsApp. Why? Because in every relationship, there must be investment. So, some of you here sitting, you may be very discouraged, like me when I was younger, you know, that, how come my friends, I invited them again and again, and they are not coming. Maybe we have to start thinking, did I invest in their life as a friend? Maybe you did. Then later on, I'm going to share with you about my life testimony. You know, it's like, we need to start sowing into their life, being there with them, being a friend. I have this testimony. Okay. I met with a mother and she shared with me her daughter's testimony. Okay. She actually attends schools and she shared with me that when she was in secondary, right, her daughter, she don't want to be named. Okay. So her daughter once has this group of 8 friends and out of 8 friends, 3 are Christian, including herself. 5 are not. So she has been reaching out to this group of friends. So during O-level year, the 3 Christians, including her, right, met up to pray. And what happened is, now they're in different places. Some are in poly, some are in JC. And one day, the youth received a call from her friend. Okay? And her friend said, wow, you know, I'm trying very careful not to say her name out accidentally. Because I promised her I won't say her name, you know. So she was like, wow, you know, I went to this poly, right? There are so many Christians in the poly trying to, you know, ask me to join them. They come and tell me that, you know, come and join our activity and all that. I think maybe most likely open house or something. You know, come and join. And then she said, I suddenly think of you. You know, said to our youth, suddenly think of you. I realized that for the last 2 years when we are together, you love me for who I am. You are a Christian. You know, sometimes when I say vulgarity, you say, hey, don't say it in front of me. But you never push me away. You are still my friend. You share God with me, but you never push it in my face. And I realized you really love me. And just before this, you know, the youth was actually very discouraged because she couldn't bring any friend to the church event. You know, nobody converted. The five of them. But when she heard this phone call, her mother encouraged her. She said, see, you are doing something right. Something has been deposited in her life. And one day, it's going to bear fruit. Amen? And so I told her, mom, tell your girl, don't give up. Continue to sow into this friend. Because one day, this friend is going to walk into the kingdom of God because of what she has done. Yes, I nearly say that, right? You know, I can count with my fingers the number of times I led people to Christ. Really. You may be thinking, huh, Pastor Debbie? Okay, don't talk about those altar ministry, alright? Don't talk about when I am on duty or when I was a youth pastor or a youth leader or a youth supervisor and I come forward and I pray for young people who want to receive Christ. Don't talk about those. Talk about my own journey. I think Less than this. Really. In my 31 years, okay? And I think maybe one of them is actually my sister-in-law. I had the privilege of leading her to Christ, you know, after she felt so touched at my son's funeral. And she actually wanted to receive Christ. And that was, I think, the latest. And that maybe it was 7 years ago, I think. Yeah? All right? 7 or 6 years ago. And so, to tell you honestly, every time when I was growing up in Coos, whenever there's an event, I always get discouraged because my friends won't come. And there was a period of my life I stopped investing. I told myself, no point. Maybe I'm just not gifted or anointed in this area. No, because every time I see my friend, wow, 5 people, 6 people. Sometimes they bring and all accepted Christ. I'll be like standing here, I got no friends. You know, and worse, even if my friend come, never really accept Christ. But I've been sharing, I've been investing. And so there's a period of my time I stopped, you know. I was so discouraged, I was like, yeah, never mind. Maybe this calling is not for me. Maybe it's for another friend. Maybe it's for somebody else. That's why just like I told you, right? We all can be used. But what happened was, later on in my life, God brought to my awareness, many of my friends actually came to know the Lord without me realizing it. And the first story I want to tell you is actually my tuition teacher. I was in primary school. She came to my house when I was P5 and P6 to tutor me. And that time I was very excited. Just became Christian. My mom also, you know. So she will make tea for her, cook tong shui, you know. Cook dessert and everything. Serve her and everything. And we will share before Jesus. Every time she come, I will tell her, oh, today Miss Ling, I remember her name is Miss Ling. Today Miss Ling, I lost my wallet. Couldn't find it, you know, came back, panic. Then I prayed, okay, God, help me find my wallet. And I ran back, traced back my step, went back, and then there it was. The wallet was just the same place, with everything intact. Wow, so I'll tell a testimony like this, you know. I'll tell a testimony about my experience and all. And every time my mother invited her to church, she would say no. But, you know, later on, I remember I was already in polytechnic. I don't know how she managed to finally get a number or how she found, but my mom and her reconnected. And my mom found out that she was a Christian. She became a Christian. Married a Christian husband. And not only that, her mom, Miss Ling's mom, family, came to know the Lord. And happened that they were looking for a dialect or Chinese church. Isn't that amazing? And I was so happy to know that I had a part to play, investing in that life, just sharing, even though I did not reap that fruit, you know. Another time, recent years, I bumped into some of my students. I used to be a teacher, okay, in a primary school, and one thing I do, I'm quite radical, so I will go in and I will share with the class about Jesus, stories, and all my rules and all, I will try to take it out from the Bible, you know. Like, do to others what you want to do to do to others what you want others to do unto you, right? It's actually a scripture verse, but I'll make it in such a way that it's a class motto or something. And one more thing that I always do to my class is that I will pray for them. Every paper. Alright? And I will do this so that I won't get myself into trouble. I'll say, okay, children, class, it's going to be your English paper, for example. I was like, okay, Miss Tan is going to pray for you. That time I was still Miss Tan. I said, okay, Miss Tan is going to pray for you, but I'm going to pray to my Jesus. And you can close your eyes and pray to your God. Because there was Muslim in dinner. I said, you can pray to your God, but I'm going to pray to my Jesus to help you. So those of you who are Christian, you can join me. Those who are not, you can close your eyes. And I start doing that to every class I taught. And until one day I realized I forgot to do that. I was already invigilating at another class, and the teacher came, hey, Miss Tan, your class looking for you. I said, huh? So I thought, what happened, you know? So I went back, what happened? What do you all need? Miss Tan, you haven't prayed for us yet. So I said, oh, I see. Okay, now close your eyes, you know? Yeah. So I prayed for them. And I had this P3 kid, this P3 child, and what happened was, recent years, I bumped into her. Now they are, I think, almost all of them should be in uni already. And I bumped into them, and I found out from this girl that a few of them became Christian. Hello? Hello? And the best thing was, one of the child told me, yeah, after I grow older, my mother said, I think you better go church lah. Miss Tan teach you about God before, you better go church, you know. So the parents also encourage their children. So you see, yeah, you know, I didn't realize it. But they all started to go to church. So you see, another one, okay, this one is actually my secondary school friend. I hope she won't kill me when she sees this online. Recently, we had a reunion, a group of us. I haven't had a chance to join the last reunion, which was last Saturday. But we had a short one, a small one between the three of us. And this lady, alright, she's one of my best friends. In secondary school, alright? In secondary school, I had two other friends, okay? Three of us, three musketeers, we call ourselves, okay? We always hang out together. My mom knows them, their parents know me, and you know, we are very close for 4 years. We're in the same class. And to be honest, in that 4 years, I wasn't the best testimony, alright? I did many things that I shouldn't have done, even though I was already a Christian. I was really finding myself and finding God. That's another story, maybe I can share with you another time, about how God redeemed my life and called me to do His work, even though I looked, you know, even though I was not really worthy, you know, at that time, I felt. So what happened was, and she knew that I was a Christian, she and another three of us, two of them knew I was Christian. They knew my whole family was Christian, but I didn't really share much with her, alright? But she knew about God, she knew about my journey and all. And recently when we met up, okay, during this short meetup, I didn't know it then. It's only later on we started texting each other. And I realized that she's really not replying like she used to. She will use words like, oh, God is good. They'll be like, Then she will use things like, oh, I can't. I'm not free on Saturday evening. Sunday morning also cannot. Then I'm like, something is not right with the way she texted, you know. And so I PM her, you know, private message her. Say, hey, Janet, are you like, is something going on? Like, are you a Christian now or something? And she said, yeah, I'm going to church now. And I just got baptized this March. I'm like, wow, great. She said, yeah, you know, God has been good. In my lowest peak, I remember there's a God. I remember your family. And I remember that God is there. And God pursued her. Can you imagine? God pursued her until she came to know the Lord. And I realized after me, in her other journey, there were many Christians that came along her life that helped her to experience God's love. Hello? You see, I am a bit embarrassed when I share about her story because I knew that I didn't do much. I knew that I wasn't really that tip-top testimony during that time when we were together 4 years in secondary school. But I knew the last year of our life at Set 4 when I rededicate my life to God, when I told God, okay, God, enough of all this nonsense that I'm going through, and I decided to be serious with God again. And I actually drew a little boundary between myself and them, this group of friends, and I said, sorry, you know, I can't join you anymore. Certain activities, I won't join you because I'm going back to church. I'm going back to encounter God. And I think that shocked them a little because we used to be very close. But because of church activities and because of my dedication to God, of me saying, God, I want to encounter you again. I want to draw close to you as you draw close to me again. I want to put down all the things of the world. I want to say, yes, God, here I am. Mold my heart, change me again. And I knew that last year, of our life together in that secondary school, I knew I drew a line because I decided to go back to God. And I knew that itself is already a testimony. So you see, God is good. It's all about Him. It's not about us. We may not be the best testament. We may not be doing the best in our life. We may not bear the best testimony. But you see, whatever we do, step by step, God will bring other people along the way, and God is the one that will convince them. God is the one that will show up in front of them. And along the time, along their life, if they are going through difficult times or hopeless times, God will bring back their memory. Hey, remember that time when Caleb shared with you about me? Or, hey, remember that time when Sandra shared about how I walked with her through this journey? When you feel like, when somebody is standing there, feel like, oh, that's it. There's nothing else. God will bring to memory. Hey, remember? John shared with you about me. God will bring that back to them, to their friends, and help them remember, hey, there's hope, there's light. Can still do something about it. So if your friends are not coming this Christmas event, don't be discouraged. Keep pressing on. Keep inviting. Keep sharing with them. Keep investing. If your friends are coming, great job. Continue to invite. Continue to invest. Because that is life evangelism. Amen? Continue to do that. Don't give up. Continue to sow into their life. Slowly but surely. Okay, one day they will see God and face Him. Lastly, so before we go to the last one, what's the first one? Be real. What's the second one? Be a friend, okay? Be a friend in need, alright? And then the last one is, be ready to be used by God. Okay, be ready all the time. Be ready to share the love of God. Be ready to share testimony. Be ready to be there when your friends is down. Be ready to share hope if your friend failed or is going through a difficult time or feeling hopeless. Be there. Continue to share the meaning, the life of what Christian is all about, of Christianity is all about. Share about who Jesus is in your life. Show them what it means to be a believer in Christ. To let them know the reason for your faith in Christ. Be prepared to be there to answer your friends. Pray for them. Walk with them. You may not have all the answers all the time. And sometimes our friend may not need answers from us. But they just need you to be there to say, hey, I know I have no answers for you. I don't know why is happening, but I will be here for you and I'll pray for you. Oh, now, okay, this is not planned, but I'm going to share with you a testimony about my daughter. Just came suddenly. You know, my girl is 10 and she takes school bus home. And she has a friend in the school bus who is 1 year younger. Okay, so if she's P3, the girl is P2. And this girl has been a friend to her since P2. Alright, so that means Ketra is P2, the girl is P1. And one day, a period of time, she came back very, very sad and downcast. So initially, my mom and I thought maybe Ketra went through something in school, you know. And so we sat down with her, you know, I need to talk to her slowly. My daughter takes some time to share with us what she really goes through. And so one day finally we found out what was wrong. She was in the school bus and her friend, right, Ashley, shared with her about her parents is going to get a separation. It's going to be separated. Alright? And Ketra don't know how to help her friend. Because this Ashley will be crying in the school bus. You know, my mommy and my daddy not together anymore and all that. And Ketra is stuck. She has this high empathy, you know. Like Strength Finders, if I did it before, I think her empathy is number one. She has this very high empathy for friends who go through difficulty. And she was like, mommy, what should I do? Finally, when she told me, I'm like, Ketra, you know, we have no answers for this. I'm sorry. She's like, mommy, can we pray that the parents don't divorce? I say, yes, can. But, we have to leave it to God to answer that prayer. And we have to leave it to the parents to decide. So I told Ketra this. I said, Ketra, how about this? Why don't you go to your friend next day and tell her this, Ashley, I cannot make your parents come back together. I can pray for you that maybe God will change their mind. But we have to leave it to God to do that part. But how about this? I can be your friend during this time. And I will pray for God to comfort you. So she really did it. Alright, she went back to the bus. She told her friend a few times, don't worry, because God, I'll pray for you, you know. So, okay, in the end, the parents really got divorced. But what happened was that at that moment, there's this friendship that is developed And you know what? Soon after that, whenever Ashley has a problem or situation, she will turn to Ketchel, can you pray for me? And Ketchel tried to, like, you want to accept Jesus? And she's very cute on this, actually. I think I accepted really. I don't know about this Jesus, but maybe I don't have. So she's not sure. So every time Ketchel said, okay, why don't you say the sinner's prayer again? You know, why don't you say the sinner's prayer again? Yeah. So she will lead her to pray. And they're still in the school bus. And the miraculous, the beautiful thing about this is, God didn't answer the prayer of a little girl, you know, to put the parents back together. Because at the end of the day, that is really the parents, you know, they have to work it out. But the beautiful part about this short story is that Ashley found hope to a friend. And Ketra was ready to say, okay, mommy, I will tell her this next day. She's ready to sit there and say, okay, every time Ashley in the prayer, she's ready. We need to realize that we have to be ready for our friends. And sometimes the moment comes and the moment goes. Okay, I'm lost in the, you know. And I want to share with you another story about this girl. She's called Ruth. She's one of my child in Urban Kids. And I had her permission. That's why I have a photo. And she was involved in NDP. Another story about how she was ready all the time. She was involved in NDP this year, and she has to go for practice, right? And they always have these buses that will bring them, ferry them to and fro. And she has this friend that she happened to sit beside her. And so, you know, for a few months, you know, up and down, up and down. And we were teaching the children about evangelism, being ready to share your conviction, being ready to go and tell people about your love for Jesus, being ready to share testimony. And so this little girl, alright, she's a very shy girl, okay? She sat beside this friend that she has to sit beside, the teacher allocate them that way. And she just felt that she needs to befriend this girl. So she started talking to this girl, you know? She will start talking to this. And one day she went home and she told her mom that she's going to share Christ with this friend. But she don't know when and how. And as she was traveling, and as the practice moved on, there was this day, it was close to the actual NDP already. Okay? And she sat there and she felt that this is the time. And she felt the Holy Spirit telling her, okay, share with your friend now about Jesus and ask her to accept me. Okay, that's from her word, okay? That's a testimony. It's a bit small, right? She wrote the testimony out for me, okay? So she's like, she felt the Holy Spirit telling her, this is the moment. Tell your friends about Jesus. And so she plucked up the courage. She shared with her little friend. And she told her, do you want to accept Jesus? And this friend said, yes. Hello? You know, this 8-year-old girl, she turned around and said, share with her, do you want to accept Jesus? And her friend said, yes. Just like that. And so, in her little voice and a small faith, you know, in her little voice and her small faith, she actually led her friend to Christ. Then, that's what be ready is all about, people. She heard the voice of God, and she answered it by being ready. Your friend next to you in school, or maybe your friend next to you when you are going out, may just need a little testimony, or little hope, or little light. And if we are sensitive to the Spirit of God, and we do it at the right moment, that's it. Not only must we be real so that we can be a life evangelist, we can use life to evangelize. Not only must we be a friend, but if you are real and you are always a friend, but you are not ready, that will not come. Are you ready to do what God asks you to do? Are you ready to turn around like this 8-year-old girl and share Jesus with a friend and ask the friend to accept Christ? And if you are, then I want to encourage you to do what you just did this evening, worshipping God and encountering Him. Because we cannot give what we don't have. If you want to be ready to be used by God, then we have to continue to walk with God. We have to continue to love God. We have to continue to allow God to fill us and to guide us. You know, I love Pastor Chris preaching last week about love overflows. You know, we need to continue to have that. After you receive from God, then you have to give. And that's what evangelism is all about. You know, God is always there to reach out to your friends. God is always there to be that light and that hope for your friends and for you. And all we need to do is we just need to be real to them. We just need to be a friend at all times to love them because of God's love. And as you grow in the Lord, as you encounter Him, as you worship Him, be ready to answer when God says, do it now. Now, I was just wondering about this Ruth, you know, this 8-year-old girl. What if she decided not to obey that voice of God? I'm sure God being sovereign, her friend will still come to know the Lord. But then Ruth will not experience the joy of reaping the fruit of her investing in her friend's life during that long months of traveling up and down. I have a friend whom I knew when I was teaching in Kuo Chuan Presbyterian Primary School. And I was very thankful that like Ruth, at that time, I followed the call of God. I followed the voice of God. Happened that I went down to the staff room to get my things. And my children were all occupied, okay, doing their work. And I came down, and when I came down, just happened. And I really believe it's the timing of God. You know, I don't know why at that moment I needed to go to the staff room. I just felt I needed to go to the staff room. And I just felt that I needed to follow that prompting. You know, even, and then after I go to the staff room, right, I went to my table. I don't even remember why I need to go to the staff room. I was at my table standing there. Why did I need to come down, you know? I was standing there for quite long. And then I turned around wanting to go back to class, and I saw my colleague that time. And she was crying. She was in a very bad shape. And I was thinking to myself, okay, should I walk away? Because maybe this colleague needs her time. Or should I go and talk to her? So I was, you know, standing there thinking, and I was walking away. Then I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to say, talk to her. Go to her and ask her. She's one of the closer colleagues. So I said, okay, so I went to her and said, hey, Faith. No, that time she don't have her faith name yet. I said, hey, wait, what happened? And then she shared with me that she had some boyfriend, you know, fiancé problem. And I stood there and I said, can I pray for you? After talking, you know, for quite a long time. Thank God my children were still in place when I go up, alright? You know, so for quite some time, you know, I actually have to listen to her. And then I actually plucked up the courage. I felt the Holy Spirit telling me pray for her. And I said, can I pray for you? And I did. I prayed for her, and then I told her this. I said, I think you are not in the right state to teach. Maybe you should go and ask for urgent leave and go home and rest. And I prayed for her, and I said, pray that, you know, the principal will allow this special arrangement. And she did. She went, and the principal was very kind, really allowed her to take urgent leave and went home. And shortly after that, okay, that's her life story, but, you know, things didn't turn out well. And what happened was, along the way, I didn't realize this, but along the way, I kept asking her to go to church, but she never did. Okay. Then one day, I stopped teaching, right, because I had to come here, and she actually went to another school, and one day she called me and said, Debbie, I want to tell you this. You are the first person I'm telling this, because you must know this. I said, yes, my name is Faith now. I said, wow. Okay. Cool. And then she said this, you know, I know that you always ask me to go to church, but I never go to church. But I must tell you. Now I'm a Christian, I'm attending St. Andrew Cathedral, and I met this wonderful man, you know, that is a Christian, is a very strong believer, and we are now attending St. Andrew. Hello? And she said this, I cried, you know. She said this, you know, Debbie, you are one of the friend, that Christian friend that accepted me for who I am. And you know what? You were there for me. When, you know, you're so real, you share with us your real journey, yet you are a friend for me, and most importantly, is you were there when I was going through difficulty. And guess what? I was thinking, oh dear Lord, thank you that time I didn't walk back to class. I heard your prompting and I walked to her and asked her whether can I pray for her. Because that, I believe, young people, that, I believe, church, was the beginning of the seed that I placed in her life. Amen? The beginning of a seed that tells her Jesus is real. The beginning of that seed that say, hey, if you're going through difficulty, you have friends with you. Don't give up hope. Hey, if you're going through tough times, you know, though I may not be perfect, but I have a Jesus that is wonderful, a Jesus that is real, a Jesus that has loved you for who you are, and I'm here for you, I can pray for you, I can walk with you. And most importantly, as we follow the voice of Jesus, our friends will come to know who Jesus is. Not because of our perfection, not because we are perfect, not because we are the best, but because God is the best. Because God is love. And because God will reveal himself to your friends. And I thank God that that time, at that split moment, when I was deciding to go to her or go back to class, I decided, God, you will protect my class and I will go to her. And I did. And God did something that day. I really believe in that. I really believe that was a day that God did something in her life that slowly redirect her to who Jesus is. Amen, young people. So I want to share with you, don't give up. You know, the only thing that will pain us or pain God, I feel, okay? The only thing is when we don't share at all. When we don't even open our mouth and share the love of Christ. That is the saddest thing, I think. I feel. It's not about how many people you lead to Christ. It's not about how many people you invite for the Christmas event, even though you need to, alright? It's not about how many people you go out to the street and evangelize to or pray for. It's not about that. It is about how many people's lives you have impacted as you journey on this earth. Just like Jesus did as he was walking, the different people that see God and his and Jesus and his disciples as they walk on earth. I want to share with you a poem I shared with my preteens when I was sharing about evangelism with them. It's a poem that I came across and it really hit me or impacted me. And I want to share with you as a closing. Alright? Okay? My friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you are to blame somehow. While on this earth, I walked with you day by day and never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but never did you tell the story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me safe to him. Though we lived together here on earth, you never told me of your second birth. And now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things. That's true. I called you friend and trusted you. But now I learned. Now it's too late. You could have kept me from this fate. We walked by day and talked by night, and yet you showed me not the light. You let me live, love and died, and all the while you knew I never lived on high. Yes, I called you friend in life and trusted you in joy and strife. Yet in coming to this end, I see you really weren't my friend. Isn't it powerful, this short poem? that we are all called to be that light, that hope, that opportunity, that our friends may one day say, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life. Every time when I hear a young people struggle, or when I hear sad news about children or young people taking their life, I wondered, what if someone is with them who show them the way to Jesus? Many times when I hear stories about people who do not know about Jesus, but yet surrounding them, there are so many Christians, so many friends who call themselves Christians. Now, I myself too, you know, sometimes I walk to the lift. I know God wanted me to say hi to this auntie, but I'm so tired. But yet I have learned that one time, that one, hi auntie, just all it takes for me is say, hi auntie, may bring smile or hope to the auntie's life. And I realized that's what we are called. We are called to be His light everywhere we go. You are His light. We don't need the Christmas show to tell you that. You are His light. You are His hope. Let's all stand. You know, I just feel that we really need to be serious about this evangelism. Like I say, I can teach you many tools, but I really felt in my spirit that our life itself is that best tool that you can use. And I know we can continue to journey together. You and I still have friends who have not known Jesus yet. I still have friends. I need to go and be a friend. So let's be a church that is authentic, that is real. A church who will be a friend to the people around us. And a church who will be ready to say, yes, Jesus, I'm here. Though I may not be in the best place or best position or best situation now, but if you ask me to reach out to this friend beside me, I will. I will be ready to say, okay, I will be a friend. I will share my life and share my testimony because you are the light, because you are the hope, because you are love. You are everything in my life. Let's pray, shall we? Oh yes, Jesus, sweet spirit, I just pray you come to this place right now. That Lord, you will encourage the young people in this church that they are doing it, Lord. I know many of them are doing it. Many of them are walking their life with you, and many of them are reaching out to their friends around them. So Lord, I ask of you today, if anyone feels discouraged, I pray right now you encourage them. Just feel that if you are discouraged because you have been investing, you have been inviting, but nobody comes, just want you to ask God to help you, to inspire you again, to rejuvenate that passion to want to share with your friends again. Yes, Lord, I pray that you just give them that passion again to share with their friends about you. Now, I'm going to end today's service a little different. I just feel that we want to pray for one another. Okay, we are a body of Christ. We support one another. All right, I know you have done that earlier, but I really feel that we need to support one another. Pray for one another. I know the altar is always open. All right, and I know I can minister to all of you, those of you who can't be ministered. But I really feel that we want to encourage one another. Right? Just like you tell your friend, right? You are the light, right? I'm a light. So now I want you to go to somebody you are comfortable with, okay, and pray for each other that God will continue to use your life, that you will be a living testimony, walking in obedience, that He will use you to share love and hope to your friend. Can we do that quickly? Just 1 minute, because I don't want to go beyond 8 o'clock. I know it's going to be 8 soon. Come quickly, young people, you can do it. I saw you doing it just now. Let's quickly, if you can, just turn to somebody you're comfortable. Okay, if you're discouraged, tell your friend, ask your friend to pray for you. Come on, let's not have anybody talking, but quickly. That's right. Okay, quickly, you only have 1 minute, so don't waste time. Come on, young people, pray for each other. If you're bringing a friend for this weekend, pray for their friend, alright? Say out their name, pray in advance for their king, for their salvation, for their life. That's right, some of you are doing it, come on. This is serious matter. Let's begin to pray for each other. Pray that your friends will come to know Jesus. It's not because who we are, but because of who God is. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Doesn't matter how old you are. You can be 13, you can be 45. Okay, but you can still be that testimony. Your life can still be used by God. So Lord, we thank you for this evening, Lord. I pray that the story I told will inspire the many sitting here, that their life can be used by you. Their stories can be used by you. For those of them who are discouraged or disappointed because of what may have happened, you know, while investing in their friend's life, Lord, I pray that you encourage them not to give up. Continue to spur them, Father God, to do greater things for you. And for those who have been doing it faithfully, Lord, I thank you for them, that you will continue to give them the ability and strength to reach out to their friends. And for those that today make the choice to say, God, yes, I want to be used by you to evangelize to my friends, to bring light to them and hope to them. Lord, I pray you give them the courage to follow your voice, that even as they continue to encounter you, even as they continue to receive from you, Lord, they will have so much more to give. And I thank you for the weekends that's coming, for all the things that the young people has prepared to welcome their new friends, to welcome their friends, Father God, for this weekend. And I pray that you build a hedge of protection over them, and that their friends will encounter you as they walk into this place, whether through the plaza or through the service itself. So I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. We give all glory to you, because you are a great God. You are the reason why we are here. You're the reason why we celebrate. The reason why we share testimonies to our friends. So we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people say, Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank Pastor Debbie for the word. You know, the one thing in heaven that you can't do, you can enjoy God here, you can worship Him here. In heaven, you can do the same things. The one thing you can't do is bring somebody to Christ when you're there anymore. So I want to encourage you to see each person God has placed in your life, can be a classmate, can be a family member. These are gifts, and they are meant to be treasured, right? So not just this Christmas season, but since it is the Christmas season, I want to encourage you to do something intentional to bless them. Pray for them, bless them intentionally, be ready, like what Pastor Debbie just shared. Yeah, and of course, if you can, invite them for our service. But when you do, right, guys, I want you to see everyone around here. We're actually a family. So when your friend brings a new person who is a treasure to them, you want to love your friend and love your friend's friend by really going out to welcome them. Do y'all agree with me? So let's treasure each other's treasured people by really extending that really very warm welcome to them next week when we see our friends coming, lah. Can? So in the meantime, do reach out, be a blessing to them this season. And with that, I'll close the service. Service is over. You have a good weekend, and you guys are dismissed from here. Okay?
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.